This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network. Our aim is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host, Mike Drabenstadt, and I'm here today with Michelle Stanton, who's a walking coach and ACE certified fitness instructor who's been motivating people to be more active for over 25 years. She's the former fitness director for Prevention Magazine and has appeared on The Today Show, Good Morning America, The Biggest Loser, CNN, and now WDIY. So, Michelle, welcome to Active Lehigh Valley.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
So, Michelle, why is walking not only a legitimate form of exercise, but one that could be the ideal exercise for some people?
Oh, my God. It's one of the best exercises because it's easy to do. You can do it practically anywhere. You don't need any expensive gear to get started. And anybody, any age can do it. And there's so many different ways to walk. There's so many different places you can walk. You don't have to go to a gym. So it's just the most accessible exercise.
And what are some of the benefits of walking? Because I mean, you hear about, oh, you got to do cardio, you got to do weights, you got to do all these other things. But certainly there are benefits to walking.
Absolutely. So walking is a cardio exercise, aerobic exercise. It's going to strengthen your heart and your lungs. And there are those fitness benefits because we know the more fit you are, it reduces your risk for diseases. It helps you to live longer. Walking, you know, studies have shown it can reduce your risk for having heart attacks, getting diabetes, even some types of cancer. But the other thing is you feel some of those benefits right away. A lot of times we think of exercise as having to be hard and that, you know, no pain, no gain idea. And first of all, for any type of exercise, it's not true. But we know how to walk, and walking can be comfortable. Most everybody can walk. Even if you have some joint issues and things like that, you can start at a slower pace and build up. And as you build up, that can help with those joint problems. As you're walking and moving, that lubricates those joints. So if you have some stiffness or even arthritis, I've worked with clients who they had some joint pain as they started going, but over time, as their muscles are getting stronger and they're increasing their endurance, that pain decreases. So you get pain benefits. It helps you sleep better. As soon as you get out there, if you've had a bad day and you start walking, you can kind of feel that stress and tension melting away. So it can boost your mood instantly, but there's also research that it can have long-term effects on reducing risk, things like depression and anxiety. So, I mean, there are so many benefits. One doctor came up with a list of like 100 reasons to walk. So lots of reasons to get out there.
Well, hopefully if people are considering it, they're listening to the right show right now, correct? Speaking of that, how does one get started walking, especially if maybe you haven't been as active as you should have been?
Right. So the great thing with walking is, you know, every step counts. You know, we have the 10,000 step goals that we hear about. The general recommendation is to work up to getting 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity exercise, which comes to about 20 to 30 minutes every day, 5 days a week. But you don't have to do it all in one shot. So if you're just starting out, put your sneakers on and head out the door. Walk 5 minutes out and walk 5 minutes back. A 5 or 10 minute walk is a great way to start. And then you can do that the next day and the next day and build onto it. You can also do 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the afternoon, 5 minutes in the evening. You got 15 minutes there. And then, you know, do a little bit more each day. It all builds up. And what we're finding, the physical activity guidelines used to say that in order for the exercise to kind of count toward that 150 minutes, you had to do at least 10 minutes at a time. The last time they updated those recommendations based on research, they got rid of that. Because even if you go out and you're walking from your car, you know, to the store, all of that adds up. And that's why, you know, tracking your step counts is a great way to kind of see how much activity you get in a day.
Also, I think you kind of alluded to it. If you're starting off, you don't need to go out and walk every day at the beginning.
Like, right.
You go out and you walk 5 or 10 minutes. You say, oh, my body's a little bit sore. Take a day off.
Right.
And go do it the next day and let your body acclimate to this new
yes.
activity, correct?
Absolutely. You know, it's gentle on our joints. It's easy to do. You can walk right out your front door. You can walk from your office. If you are running errands, you know, you can walk in an area, the shopping center, you know, do a lap around the shopping mall before you start shopping or the grocery store. If you've got kids and they've got practices or things like that, instead of sitting in your car, sitting inside waiting for them, go out and take a walk. If you get to an appointment early, take a walk before you go into the doctor's office. There's so many opportunities through our day to move more.
That's really interesting because if you think about it, we're so accustomed and we've had this environment built for sitting. You know, we have waiting rooms, right?
Yes.
We have drive-thrus where you're sitting in your car.
Park your car and go in and get your coffee or the drugstore, whatever you have to do. Same thing with parking lots in shopping centers. They're designed for people to pull up, park, go into one store, get back in their car, and pull up to the next store, which is probably not even a block away. Park in a central area and then walk to each store. Walk back to your car to bring your bags. It's these little ways. We've become so sedentary. And what we found is even if you're getting out there and doing exercise. So first of all, no matter what type of exercise you do, great, do it. All exercise is good. If you're a runner, if you like going to like Zumba classes, you know, whatever, do that. But we can all add more walking to our days because we're too sedentary. And even if we go do a half an hour workout or even an hour workout, all those other hours that we're sedentary throughout the day are not good for our bodies. Down on a cellular level, it's not good for our cholesterol levels. It's not good for burning off blood glucose. So taking those breaks throughout the day and moving, and that's where walking falls in. So even if you're doing those other types of exercise, there's a place for walking in your life.
Well, as you start getting more involved with the walking activity, and you mentioned it's relatively simple, just kind of put on a comfortable pair of shoes and go out. If you start getting into it more, is there gear or equipment that kind of helps with the activity or, you know, might make things more comfortable?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, no matter what you're doing, you want to make sure you're walking in a pair of shoes that are comfortable and fit well, and a good pair of socks. A synthetic fabric for the socks, so that way they wick away the sweat. You're less likely to get blisters.
No cotton.
No cotton.
Right.
You know, that's the basics that you need. Don't worry about what clothes you have on. I've walked in, you know, business clothes, jeans. Once I had my kids, it was like walking anything. You know, just get the stroller and get out and move. When you're going out and you want to do more of a walking workout, you know, pick up the pace, things like that, one of the big things is comfortable clothes. If you're going for longer walks, again, synthetic, but like a legging or a short. Some people notice if they're walking for long periods, they might get some chafing. So like the bike short type can prevent that. But basically, you know, dress for the weather. If you're going out in the cold, first of all, I love it. I don't remember who said it, but there's no bad weather. There's only bad clothing, you know, when it comes to walking or any type of exercise. So investing in some of those pieces of gear, like wicking under layers and then an insulating layer and then a waterproof jacket. So you can go out and it can be fun going out in the rain or the snow, you know, kind of make it a challenge. And you see the world very differently than when you're going out on a sunny day. So that's the type of gear as you get more involved with walking that you might want to invest in. The activity monitors for tracking steps can be, you know, very motivational for people. Set your goal. And what I encourage people to do with those is track your normal activity for a couple of days and see where you're at. So you don't have to start with 10,000 steps. But if you normally walk 5,000, set your goal for 6,000 and build up again. So those are kind of the biggies. In the summer, you want something that's going to shield the sun from your eyes. Because one of the things that people do, if the sun's in your eyes, they start looking down at their feet when they're walking, which puts a lot of strain on your back. But basically, you don't need a lot. It's pretty simple. And don't let that stop you. Start walking, and then you can add on to your gear.
And let's not forget the sunscreen, too, if you're out,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
If you're going to be out for a while. What are some of the common mistakes that you see people making when they're starting a new walking routine?
So one of the biggest things is we tend to spend so much of our time hunched over phones and computers, steering wheels, even like when you're in the kitchen cooking and at the sink, we're all rounded forward. So when people go out and walk, they kind of have that hunched over posture. They're looking at their feet. So you want to stand up tall. Roll your shoulders up, back, and down. Lift your head up. Imagine that you have a cord attached to the top of your head and you're lifting your up out of your rib cage and standing nice and tall. That opens up your chest. You're able to breathe easier. It's easier to walk. And you take that stress off of your neck and your upper back because our heads are actually really heavy. And as soon as we tilt that head forward, that puts a lot of strain on those neck muscles. So that's a biggie. Start with really good posture. Think nice and tall. and walking. The other is most people ignore their arms when they're walking. We don't run with our arms down at our sides. So if you want a good workout pace for walking, bend your arms. And you want to bend them so they're a 90-degree angle, and you want them to stay close to your body. You don't want to be swinging them across your body or letting your elbows kind of wing out to the sides. Think aerodynamic. Keep them bent and in close to the body, and that's going to help for you to speed up. As we swing our arms a little faster, our legs want to stay in sync. So, you know, that's another good one. You can really use those arms to power you up. If you're taking a leisurely walk, no problem. You know, keep them down, relax when you're cooling down at the end. But if you want to pick up the pace and get more of a cardiovascular workout with your walk, bend the arms. The other one that people do is they'll bounce when they walk. So you want to think, you want to land on your heel, roll through your foot, and push off with your toes when you're walking. And that gives you a nice, smooth stride. The other one that contributes to the bouncing is when people try to walk faster, the biggest mistake they make is they take a big, long stride. People always tell me I can walk fast because I have long legs. But in reality, we've had gold medal race walkers who are like 5'3". It's not the length of your stride, but it's short, quick steps is what gets you to walk faster. So instead of swinging your leg far out in front, just let it land close to your body. You roll right over that foot, that heel-toe roll, and then you push off with your foot on the back. And it's a much smoother stride. One of the things that I encourage people to do, interval walking is a great way to walk, where you speed up, slow down. So when you do a fast interval, count how many steps you take during that time. So if it's 30 seconds or a minute, count your steps. And then the next time you do it, or even if you're doing a walk without intervals, time how many steps you take for 30 to 60 seconds. And then count it again and try and take a few more steps. When you pick up that step cadence, you pick up your speed.
And I guess that kind of goes into my next question, which is if one starts getting into this and, you know, feels like they're making progress or, you know, getting stronger as a walker, do you tend to see that in terms of speed or in terms of distance or just general enjoyment, or kind of what goes along with making progress here?
All of them. I love encouraging people to, you know, if you have a route that you walk, notice how long it takes you. And as you're doing it more and practicing some technique, notice how much more quickly you can cover that route. And the biggest excuse we have for not exercising is we don't have time. So if you can work on improving some of your technique and picking up the pace, you can do the same route in less time. In fact, I had a woman one time, she came to one of my talks and we did some technique stuff. And the next day she emailed me saying, I'm so excited. I walk every morning on my treadmill and I walk at 3.8 miles per hour. And I always tried to walk faster, but I never could. She's like, this morning I got on my treadmill and I could comfortably walk at 4 miles per hour. She added just some simple technique of bending her arms, you know, landing on that heel toe. And all of a sudden she was able to walk faster. So you can make strides in your speed pretty quickly. And then duration is another one. As your cardiovascular system is becoming more fit, you can go longer. Hills aren't going to be as tiring. I have walkers who train for half marathons and full marathons. So, and they start with walking 10 minutes and, you know, in 6 months or so, they're walking 13.1 miles and completing a half marathon. And then just pure enjoyment, of course. When you go out there and it's easier to walk, that feels better. You can enjoy the environment. Walking with friends. I mean, there's so many different ways of walking to make it more enjoyable. So I encourage people to give it a try.
We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about walking and learn a little bit more about some of those techniques with Michelle Stanton. We'll be right back.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, and Galicia, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar. Every Thursday from 7 to 9 here on WDIY.
Hello and welcome back to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network, where we aim to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host, Mike Drabenstadt, and we're here with walking coach Michelle Stanton.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Michelle, we were talking about progressing as a walker.
Yes.
And how quickly should people extend the distance they're going? Because I'm sure people start getting into it. They love it. Maybe they're walking a mile or two a day. You don't want them going out doing 10 miles.
Absolutely.
Right. So how does that sequence look? How do people ramp up mileage if that's something they're interested in doing?
Slow and steady wins the race when we're, you know, increasing. So basically, there's kind of a rule of about 10% per week. So, you know, if you're walking 5 miles a week, 10%, oh, I'm terrible with math.
Half a mile, right?
But pay attention to your body and how you feel. You never want to double what you're doing, but sometimes, you know, add another mile. A lot of people track it by time, even just adding an extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes each week. We have the walking category for the St. Luke's DNL Race Fest Half Marathon, and I create training programs. So they all ramp up very slowly, an extra mile a week. If, you know, you're doing like five, you can tack on a mile, but break it up between those days. And again, listen to your body. If it feels like it's too much, then back off. You know, just because your goal was to maybe walk 5 miles that day and you're not feeling it, that's okay. So you do four. You know, we all have good days and bad days, and we really need to listen to our body. We only get one of them. So take good care of it. And the walking is a great way to take good care of it. But again, you can overdo it with walking too. So really pay attention to your body.
Well, I think ramping up like that is very similar to running or bicycling, where you say listen to your body, but at the same time, your body is listening to you. It's saying, you're putting me under the stress.
Yes.
I need to get a little bit stronger, a little bit more limber, and get a little bit more endurance so I can go that extra distance that you're asking me to do.
Yes.
But the body doesn't react immediately.
Yes. Now, the one interesting thing too with walking, because we're really designed to walk, so our bodies tend to want to walk at the most energy efficient pace. So we're burning as few calories. So one of the things that can happen with walking, though, is you get into this rut where you get very comfortable and you kind of go at that very comfortable pace. And that's fine when you're starting out. But if you just stay with that, you're not going to continue to get benefits. You're not going to get all those kind of perks with the walking. You're going to kind of stay at that steady plateau level. You kind of plateau where you're at. So one of the things that we have to do is make sure we challenge ourselves with walking, because walking can be so comfortable, especially when you're out like walking with a friend. You're chatting away and you kind of slow that pace. I've seen it. I've been on the phone call. I'll do a route and it takes me longer if I do that route when I'm talking to somebody on the phone. So a great way to challenge yourself just little bits at a time is interval walking, where you're speeding up for a period of time or a distance, and then you slow back down to your normal pace, catch your breath, and then you speed up. You might have heard of HIIT training, high intensity interval training. That's exactly what this is, and you can do it with walking. And research shows that you get benefits more quickly with this high intensity interval training, and don't let high intensity scare you off. Intensity is relevant.
Should be higher, right?
Intensity is relative. So what's high intensity to me may not be high intensity to you. And basically what you wanna do is you wanna walk at a pace where you, as you, if you were rushing to an appointment, pick up the pace that you're late for an appointment.
Missing a plane.
Yeah.
Right?
And then you bring it back down to that purposeful pace. You can time it for like 30 seconds, a minute. You can do it by, you know, speed up for one block and then go back to your normal pace for a block or two and then speed it up. You can do lampposts, houses, pick landmarks, or you can count your steps. Speed up for 50 steps and then slow it down for, you know, 100 or so, or pay attention to your breath. Speed it up, get a little breathless, bring it back down. But what that's doing is that is a nice way to get you out of that rut of that comfortable pace of walking that you might not be getting benefits from. It pumps up those other benefits, the cardiovascular, and it's a way of building up your walking program.
And I think the other thing you alluded to before the break would be hills as well, right?
And
absolutely. I think naturally, whether we're walking or running or biking, anywhere, you see a hill and you're thinking, ugh, you dread it, right? But I guess there's a way to embrace that.
Yeah, look at that as a challenge. If you're walking in a hilly area, you've got natural intervals then. You know, you've got that heart intensity going up the hill and then you recover and then you've got another hill. But yeah, again, think of it as those challenges on the intervals. If you're timing it, if you have a set amount that you're doing, you can count, again, count your steps. And the more steps you're taking, the faster you're going. And over time, you're going to see that that pace increases.
Yeah, I think the pace will increase, but also you're needing to propel, kind of go against gravity.
Absolutely.
So your legs start getting stronger, your hips start getting stronger as well.
It's a great workout for your glutes and your legs. So if you want to work on, you know, toning those in particular as you're walking, hit the hills.
Yeah, hit the hills. And then 3 weeks later, you're on level ground. You're thinking, how'd this get so easy?
Yep. I live in a hilly neighborhood, so I've been shocked sometimes then when I go and I walk on flats. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, that's one of the benefits of the Lehigh Valley. Pennsylvania is relatively hilly. We're not Florida. We're not Delaware, right?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about walking by yourself versus walking with a group.
Yeah.
I know with running, you know, there's the solo aspect of doing it, but when you're running with the group as well, there's a social aspect, you know, pace aspect where you're staying with other people. I imagine the same is with walking.
Yeah. So we all kind of think of walking, and I think we just kind of lump it into this one idea of walking. And I always say there's more than one way to walk. And some of that is that social. Do it with a group. Do it with a friend. Do it with family members. And all of those can be very different. You could have a group of walkers that, you know, you're going for a pace and you're out there walking quickly, and that can help you. You can walk with somebody who is, you know, a faster walker than you, and that can help to push you. You can walk with a friend and you just want to get out there and get the steps in and you're catching up and it's more like a therapy session. You know, you're talking about your stresses in life and your kids and things like that. And, you know, what I find when I do that is, man, the miles and the time go by and I can cover a lot more and it doesn't feel as hard. Sometimes it can feel harder when you're doing it by yourself. But that's where we kind of, when I've done some walking groups, we kind of have the joke that when you're going out for your walking workouts, like, go by yourself, because it's like walking, no talking. As soon as you start talking, you slow your pace. So embrace those kind of solo walks and challenge yourself to pick up the pace, add some intervals, or, you know, cover your route a little quicker. Same thing, though, on the flip side, those solo walks can be a very relaxing kind of mind-body walk. Go out there, pay attention to your breathing, match your breathing to your steps. So take a deep breath in for 4 steps, a deep breath out for 4 steps, and then lengthen it, going up to 6 steps, 8 steps. And that can be like a very meditative type of walk that you're doing on your own. You know, I even encourage people. I remember one time a friend came into town, and instead of going to one restaurant, we popped around to different restaurants. So we walked through downtown Bethlehem, and it was like one restaurant we went and we had drinks and apps, and then we went somewhere else and we had an entree, and then we went somewhere else for dessert. You know, there's so many different ways. Going out with your family after dinner. So there's so many different opportunities and benefits that you can get when you're walking. So just make it a challenge and see how many different ways you can get out there and walk.
Well, I think also by yourself, also you have the opportunity to be a little more body aware.
Yes.
You know, are my shoulders loose? Are my arms swinging? You know, what are my feet doing? How am I landing?
Yep.
And really focus on those individual areas of your body.
Yes. Practicing that technique when you're out there. You're not doing that necessarily when you're with a group and chatting.
Right. Your focus is elsewhere.
Yes.
As opposed to on the activity that you're doing at the time.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can really feel that. And over time, you feel how those muscles in your legs and your glutes are getting stronger and you're getting up that hill more easily. Pay attention to that and kind of cheer yourself on and reward yourself. That can be very motivating.
Now, as people get fitter and get stronger, some might be looking at other activities as well to kind of balance things out. Do you see a benefit for what we might call cross training, either with weights or bicycling or other activities?
Absolutely. So I've often referred to as walking can be a gateway to a more active lifestyle. So people will start with walking and then they might pick up other activities. Some might get into running. Some might start cycling. Some join a gym and they start to go to classes or get a personal training. And then some stay with walking and they just, you know, take it to that next level of doing things like half marathons and marathons. So there's lots of opportunities. No matter what, though, I encourage everyone to strength train. It is so important, no matter what type of exercise, cardio exercise you're doing, strength training 2 to 3 times a day is going to help make that activity that you're doing easier. It's going to make everything in life easier. As we get older, we lose muscle mass. And the only way we're going to help to maintain that and slow that loss is with some type of strength training, whether you're using weights, body weight, bands. So make that a part of your routine. You know, strengthening leg muscles can help you to walk faster. You know, strengthening your core and your upper back is going to help improve that posture while you're walking. There are so many benefits that you're going to get from that. And then again, throughout your life, lugging bags in and out of the car, kids, things like that, that's going to make all of that easier. Climbing stairs as we get older, getting out of chairs, we need that muscle strength. So, you know, combine that with walking. But again, if you're interested in other activities, I've had clients who, you know, they start walking and all of a sudden they're more open to trying different things. They pull their bikes out or they're on vacation and they'll try paddle boarding or they'll, you know, go kayaking. As you get fitter, it's kind of like your world opens up and you're more open to trying these other things. So by all means, whatever activity or type of exercise you enjoy, go for it, because that's the way you're going to continue it. And you need to be consistent to continue to see those benefits.
Also, you alluded to this a couple times, like taking part in a race. And that's
yes.
an opportunity to, you know, not only take part in this activity, but put an actual time against it and challenge yourself,
yes.
right? So certainly you don't need to do that, but there's
right.
there are opportunities and benefits
there
to
are.
Do that.
I mean, you can. There's some 5Ks, 10Ks. We're very fortunate. St. Luke's DNL Race Fest, we have one of the most walker-friendly half marathons in the country. We have a 4.5-hour time limit. So, you know, even people who are walking a 20-minute mile pace, which is on the slower side, it's doable. We have pace groups, so you can walk with a group, so you can hit a pace goal. We have age group awards and awards for our overall fast walker. So if you're competitive like that and you know what, you want to try and win an award, you can do that. Or your goal might just be to complete it. Doesn't matter what time. And then the next year, a lot of people come back and they want to beat their time. So it's a great way to motivate yourself and kind of take it to the next level. There's also a lot of camaraderie with doing events like this. You end up meeting people. I've had walkers who will do a race every weekend or every other weekend. And they've made lifelong friends from the races. And they keep in touch and they meet and they do races. So, you know, it can really be a lot of fun and it's good for you.
They towed the same start line as
yeah.
the runners and they crossed the same finish line. They
yes.
get the same medal. They get
yep.
the same shirt, right?
Yep, absolutely. Most people don't think or even know that you can walk a half marathon or a marathon. You know, some are more open to having walkers than others. So you want to definitely look into that, see what the time limit is if you're, you know, doing another race to make sure that you can complete the course in the allotted time period. But yeah, when I was at Prevention Magazine, we started a walk a marathon program and we did marathons across the country. And we had, you know, first of all, people who were avid walkers never knew they could do this. And so this was a great challenge. We had a lot of former runners who, because of issues or getting out of training, they weren't able to do these events, but they loved them when they used to do them as runners. So they were excited that they could be competitive in a different way and participate in these events. And, you know, my mom walked the DNL half marathon when she was 77. She walked her first. We did a full marathon. I think she was 65 at the time. So it's never too late to get started.
Well, I think that's one thing I hear as a runner. I hear walkers saying, well, I'm just a walker, or I just walked this half marathon. And you have a shirt on here that says walkers are athletes too. So,
absolutely.
I mean, is there something to be said about not being apologetic?
Right. No. If you walk, I don't care how you cross the finish line. You completed the half marathon or you completed the marathon. When we've done events, I've had walkers finish faster than runners. I think my best time was something like 2:42 for a half marathon. So, you know, they're respectable times. The other thing, too, is you really can get a vigorous workout with walking. Walking generally is considered a moderate intensity exercise. And for most people, the pace that you're walking at is generally moderate intensity. And that's where you can carry on a conversation while you're doing it. And that's that moderate intensity. But you can take walking and push yourself to those faster paces where you are getting your heart rate up into that vigorous zone. It's really doable. So going above that 4 mile per hour pace, there was a great study that was done out of the Cooper Institute for Aerobic Research down in Dallas, Texas. And it's many years ago, classic study. They were women and like in their 40s, and they had three groups. They all had to walk 3 miles. I don't know, three times a week or whatever it was. But one group had to walk at a 20-minute mile pace. So it took them an hour to cover that 3 miles. Another group was 15-minute mile pace, which is a good, brisk pace. So they 45 minutes to complete it. The third group had to walk at 5 miles per hour. That's a 12-minute mile pace, which is fast.
That's fast.
Okay. So they finished in 36 minutes. First of all of these women were able to work up to walking at that 5 mile per hour pace. They didn't have more injuries or anything. And in fact, it was easier to keep the women in the 5 mile per hour group, the fast group in the study. They had a harder time keeping the women in the slow group in because they saw all the other women getting done in 36 minutes. And they still had, you know, 20 some minutes to walk yet before they were done. So that was a vigorous intensity. And they saw that when you pick up the pace and walk faster, all the benefits were increasing. Their cardiovascular fitness and everything was increasing more. So it really can be a vigorous, challenging exercise.
Well, Michelle, thank you for joining us here at WDIY. I hope we've inspired some people to consider walking or even walking more.
Yeah, that would be great. Come join us for the St. Luke's DNL Race Fest half marathon in November.
Please do. I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is Active Lehigh Valley.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to WDIY.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.